Grace to you and peace in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's pretty clear from reading through the Old Testament that one of the probably the most difficult, most challenging, quite honestly, one of the worst jobs you can have is being a prophet. Prophets are often called to do things that are pretty difficult. And you really get a sense of just how difficult it is to be a prophet when you read through the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah is the longest book in the Bible that's not the Psalms. It's longer than Isaiah or any of the other prophets. It's longer even than Genesis or Exodus. And Jeremiah's story is one of heartache and pain, of mourning and prayer and faith. Jeremiah also wrote the book of Lamentations, but there are plenty of things to lament in the book of Jeremiah. It's around 628 BC. The southern kingdom of Judah has decayed. Things are in bad shape. From the outside, it's obvious that they are no longer a major world power. The economy and the military are struggling, and while outwardly the situation looks pretty grim, inwardly it's even worse. The remnant, those folks who faithfully believe and trust in the true God of Israel, that remnant has been shrinking and shrinking and shrinking over the years. And into this mess, God calls a prophet. A young man, Jeremiah by name, he touches his lips and says, "I'm putting into your mouth the words that these people need to hear." And that word is a word of repentance. Jeremiah is called to proclaim God's law so that people will understand and repent and turn to God. Almost all of the book of Jeremiah is a call to repentance. And for his faithfulness, Jeremiah endures ridicule, open opposition, imprisonment. He's even accused of treason. He's threatened by the rich and powerful and rejected by the poor and helpless. I imagine very often Jeremiah had to go back to those words that God had first spoken to him. "You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord." Do not be afraid. I am with you. I will rescue you. Jeremiah is given a task to proclaim words that uproot, words that tear down, words that break. And he's called to proclaim words that plant, words that build up, words that restore. Jeremiah's message is a difficult message, but it is necessary. An old decrepit building stands on the property. The foundations once were solid, but now over the years, maintenance has been neglected, and the doors are falling off the hinges, the exterior is rotting, the siding is falling off, and inside the piping is shot, and there's mold on the walls. Before the owner can even think about building something new, the old has to be demolished, leveled, removed. And so the bulldozers come. Jeremiah is the building inspector. He's the guy who comes in and looks at the house of the Lord. He looks at the people of God in these days and he declares that this house is not fit for habitation. It's a mess. It needs to be torn down and removed. Why? The people have abandoned God. Their actions are full of selfishness, self-service, self-centeredness. God's people have always been called to act with justice. Justice is about showing care and compassion for those who are the least in their society and unable to protect themselves. And yet in Jeremiah's day, they oppress the foreigner. They take advantage of orphans. They steal from widows. They've even shed innocent blood. They have failed to do justice in the world where God has placed them. Instead, they have put their fear and their love and their trust in created things. They worship the false gods of their culture. Things like political power, money, and popularity seem to be more important than God and His Word and His clearly revealed desires for His people. And what's even worse, they still come to the temple and they pretend to be followers of Yahweh. Rather than repent and be restored, they claim to be without sin. They take their religious actions as a license to do what God declares is wrong. And all the while, they continue to proclaim, "Well, there's no problem at all here. I went to the temple. I gave my sacrifice. I'm good. And now I can get back to life as usual." And so God sends Jeremiah to speak. "Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury? Will you burn incense to Baal and follow other gods you have not known? And then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, 'We are safe? Safe to do these detestable things?' Is the worship of God in your temple only a show to try and deceive others into thinking that you are serious about following the true God? Will you ignore God's clear commandments and rely on rituals and traditions? Well, you may deceive others, but you won't deceive God. I am watching, declares the Lord. The building is condemned, and the bulldozer is coming. And this bulldozer has a name. Its name is Babylon. And the destruction will be complete and terrible." Jeremiah speaks some pretty hard words to God's people in his day. But what do you think Jeremiah would say to Christians today? Do Christians today demonstrate their allegiance to other gods in our world? Do we follow the culture a little bit too much? Are we of the world instead of simply being in it? Christians get swept up in all of the consumerism of Black Friday, while poor people in our major cities are cold and homeless. We spend lots of money supporting and advertising our favorite sports teams, but we're much less generous when it comes to supporting Christ's work among the world. Is our worship of God also half-hearted, at times insincere? We should expect this kind of behavior from the people in our society, but we should not expect it of those who claim to be Christian. You kind of get the idea why Jeremiah wasn't invited to very many parties in his day. You see, when his goring of all of the sacred cows of society was finished, lots of people were left more angry with him than they were challenged. He isn't a very popular guy. He's kind of like the fire alarm that's going off in the building, and after a while, nobody wants to hear it anymore, and they try and stuff a sock into it to keep it from making the racket, to keep it from disturbing life as usual. But their world is falling apart, and Jeremiah is telling them what the problem is, why it is. It's their hypocrisy and their faithlessness. Jeremiah is called to proclaim words that uproot. But he's also called to proclaim words that plant, words that build up, words that restore. And so if you read through the whole book of Jeremiah, you'll discover in the absolute center of the book, right in the middle, chapters 30 to 33, there's what's called the little book of comfort. It's called the little book because it's not most of the book. It's a small section. But in those chapters are some of the greatest promises of the Old Testament. Chapter 30. In that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will break the yoke off their necks and will tear off their bonds. No longer will foreigners enslave them. Instead, they will serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Chapter 31. Days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. Chapter 33. Days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days, at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteous Savior. Our God is powerful. His people are faithless, but God will intervene anyway. He is the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel. He's a covenant God who is faithful to all of His promises. Yes, He will bring judgment. Yes, there will be destruction. But God will rebuild His people. He will replant His nation. He will raise them up. And He will give them a Savior. He will do something that they could never, ever hope to do on their own. He will do it for them. He will send the one who will live with justice and righteousness, who will show us God's love, and who will rescue His people. Jeremiah tells us that one is coming who will take care of all of our problems. It is Jesus of Nazareth. He's born into human existence to follow God perfectly. He is the sacrifice that God made for sin for all time. He gives His life for you and me. On the cross, He suffers all of the wrath and condemnation, all of the righteous judgment that God can bring gets poured out on Jesus as He dies for us. God even abandons Him, leaves Him to the very pit of hell. Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet, in that great destruction, in that abandonment by the Heavenly Father, Jesus is paying the price for our sin. And He's rescuing us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And He's setting us free, not to serve ourselves, but to serve others in His name. Dear friends, the Word of God from Jeremiah today invites all of us to examine our hearts and our lives. Even today, among those who claim to be Christians, there is plenty of hypocrisy and empty ritual. Far too often, we also can seem to be worshiping the gods of our culture. Our outward religion can appear shallow compared to our actions. We're called to repent, to recognize the inconsistencies in our life, and to lean upon God and to find our hope in His mercy for us in Jesus Christ alone. And to see Jesus as God's dearly loved Son, a God who is completely trustworthy and gives us His Word. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." And to be reminded that Jesus has promised that as He left, He is coming again to judge the living and the dead and to take us to our eternal home. Hear His promise and trust and watch. Because Jesus says, be on guard, stay awake, stay alert. You do not know the time or hour when I will return. And to throughout all things, hear again and rejoice in the promise that God made to Jeremiah and to you and to me. I am with you, and I will rescue you. To Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forever. Amen. Will you join me in prayer? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, You are the Creator of all things. You have made us and everything in this world. As we hear Jeremiah's call to the people, we apply his words to our life. And we recognize, Lord, that there are many times when we have not fully followed You. There are times when we have not sought justice and mercy. There are times when we have been centered on ourselves rather than on You. We acknowledge, Lord, that at times we have worshipped creation rather than the Creator. And we are sorry. We repent. We want to change. Lord, we pray that You would speak into our hearts and lives today the message of Jesus, that He came into our world to live and to die for us, that He fully took upon Himself all of our sins, that He died for us and rose victorious from the grave so that we also might have deliverance from sin and death and all kinds of evil. Lord, we pray that You would set us free to serve others. We ask that You would strengthen us through the power of Your Holy Spirit to live and to move in this world in ways that reflect Your glory and that honor and praise You. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We now gather our offerings and our tithes as our sign of